Hallelujah. I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 9. And I was actually reading this last night because I try always to read a proverb on what day it is. If it's the 9th, I'll read a proverb 9. And if I get behind, I'll go back and read the others up to that point. And so you can read the book of Proverbs 12 times in a year. And it's the book of wisdom. And so I always try to read that proverb. I read them in different translations. And talking about the Word of God and wisdom, and that's what the Word of God will produce in your life is wisdom. And I want to read starting at verse 7. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, Junior, because this is what I was reading in. This is what I'm reading it in this month. And it says this in verse 7, and I just want you to hear what it says. It says, anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous and they will learn even more. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. And I was thinking about that in the sense of when we hear the Word of God and when we hear preaching or we hear ministry of the Word of God and we hear the truth. If we're going to be wise, we're going to accept. And if it brings correction in our lives, we'll accept that correction. Amen. I want to always be willing to be corrected when I'm wrong. How about you? And because you'll become wiser that way. Amen. And so many times, if we're not careful, we get our doctrine set in stone, our cement, and they ain't no matter what anybody tells us, we're not going to change it. And I've met people that I'm telling they're staunch in what they believe. Even if the Word of God contradicts what they believe, they still going to believe what they believe. And I'm thinking, well, you know, those are people that it's hard to help because God's always talking about a transformation in our life. That's always going from glory to glory, faith to faith. In other words, the Word of God is always taking us to a higher level in God. And so when we want, when we're reading the Word of God, reading the Word of God is giving instruction to us and bringing wisdom to our lives. Now, I just read that for the sake of we're all wise people and we're all growing and learning. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want to go to Acts. Acts chapter 26, I believe it is. I kind of read this. I think I might have read this Wednesday night. I'm not real sure. But even if I did, some of you weren't here, so you get to hear it this morning. And we've been talking about light. And several of you hadn't been here to talk about light. And there's two powers in the world. There's the God, which is light, and then there's Satan, who is darkness. And everything portrays those two entities in the earth. And evil and wickedness is brought forth by darkness and by the fall of man. And light comes from God and comes from Jesus. The Bible says men were sitting in darkness, and then the light showed up. And I talked about when I first started here in Genesis chapter 3, where we talked about what happened to man, and that was in the Garden of Eden, where man disobeyed God and did what God told him not to do. He ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they ate that, God says, the moment you eat from it, some translation says, the second you eat, you die. And Adam and Eve ate from that tree by being, Eve was deceived by the serpent. Adam wasn't deceived, but he did transgression. He just flat out disobeyed God. And so when they did, see what so many don't realize, when God made man, he clothed them with his glory. Now, when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they hid themselves, and they told God when he showed up in the cool of the day to fellowship with them, they said, where are you, Adam? He said, we were afraid, and we hid ourselves because we were naked. And God asked him, who told you that you were naked? They didn't know they were naked because they were clothed. They were clothed with God's glory, with his presence, with his power. And so that moment, the light was shut off. The light was shut off. They were the light of that garden. The light was shut off. In fact, God that made them to be the God, little g, of this world. And they turned it over to Satan because Corinthians tells us the god of this world hath blinded the minds of those that don't believe. And another translation says Satan, the god of this world. And so darkness came in. God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden because of the tree of life in the middle of the garden, that if they ate of that tree of life, they would have lived and died in their sins for eternity. But God had a plan. He had a plan to get man back. And so many times we look at God, we look at, and you can hear people talk. One thing I'm going to do as your pastor, and I'm going to always tell you about the goodness of God and how good God is. God is a good God. He's a good God. Everybody say it with me. God's a good God. And Jesus said He's your Father, if you know Jesus. And so when the light got cut off, then man had to work by the sweat of their brow. Curses hit the earth. All thorns, all kinds of things started growing up, and women started having pain and childbirth and all such. All that came because of the fall. Now, when the Bible says instantly you will die, they lived some 900 years prior to eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But yet they died spiritually. They were disconnected from God. They literally was separated from God. It literally cut them off from the relationship they had with God, and they died spiritually. Well, the light was turned off, so God wanted to turn the light back on, and He did in Christ. And so we got to understand there's a lot of things going on that you know this as well as I do, that everything's God because God's in control of everything. I always try to let people know that God's good because I can't see myself serving a tyrant or serving a murderer or a destroyer. Now you can read a lot of stuff, and if you don't read it correctly and see kind of why God put it in there, and you look at the Old Testament, well, God did this, God did that, God did this, God did that. Y'all know that, don't you? But what did God tell them before all those things happened? He told them what not to do to prevent it. That's a good God. I said, that's a good God. A good father will tell you of what's ahead and warn you not to do it before you do it. And He said, here's what's going to happen if you do it. And then what He says is, my hands are tied. Your choice is what's going to decide the outcome in your life, your choice. And so in Paul, you know, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. I mean, he was a very strict religious man. And you'd think Paul wasn't nothing but a heathen. No, Paul was a very strict to the letter of the law, a Pharisee, a religious leader. And he got knocked off his donkey in Acts chapter 9. And I want to go to Acts chapter 26 because I want to read this, and where I'm going to kind of minister along the way. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation, Junior. And Paul goes before King Agrippa. This is the third time Paul is actually giving his testimony what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And then he said, then King, verse 1, Acts 26, 1 says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you may speak in your defense. So Paul, gesturing with his hand, stated his defense. I am fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today against all these accusations made by the Jewish leaders. For I know you are an expert on all Jewish customs and controversies. Now please listen to me patiently. As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people in Jerusalem. If they would admit it, they know that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion. Now I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day, and they share the same hope I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me for having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priest, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Sounds like, you know, Paul was not the nicest guy. I mean, he was opposing Jesus. He was opposing God, but he thought he was doing God a service. And that's what religion does. He said, "I always cast my vote for those that were condemned to death, even Stephen. He held the clothes of those that stoned Stephen to death for preaching the gospel." It says, "Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in the foreign cities. One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priest. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven brighter than the sun shone down on me and my companions. And we all fell down and heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will.' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. And the Lord replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness, to tell people that you have seen me and tell them that I will show you what I will show you in the future.'" You know, can we agree that something happened to Paul when that light hit him and when that voice spoke to him? He called him Lord after that. In fact, the Bible says you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. And so at that point, I believe Paul became a born-again man. At that point, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, when that light shined, he became, once again, he got his light switch turned on. And he became a born-again man of God. It says, where did I quit at? "And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I'm sending you to the Gentiles." Listen to what he's told him. "To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me." So he said, your commission, what I'm giving you to do is go turn people from what? From darkness. So what is people? Darkness. Darkness, people are just born in darkness, just to be basic. Now there's an age of accountability that kids will go to heaven until they get to that accountability that they have to make their choice and make their decision on Jesus Christ themselves. But the thing about it is, he said, I want you to turn them from darkness. God does not want anyone in darkness. Did you know that? He don't want people living in darkness. I mean, and the only way to get the light switch on is to believe in Jesus. He said, I want to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness of their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in God and me. And so he says, I want you to listen. You got to understand, we have so many things going out there. And I'm hearing more and more ministers talking about this, even on TV and such as that. In fact, I was hearing Jeremiah. What's his name? David Jeremiah this morning. And he was talking about, you know, so many times we're living in a world that, you know, everybody, they say, goes to heaven. I mean, that's what's said. You know, if somebody dies, they say, well, they're in a better place. Well, how you know? How you know? There's two places. I said, there's two places. Is there two places? How many believes the Bible speaks of two places? There's a hell and there's a heaven. And actually, God says, I want you to choose between life and death. You get to make that choice and you only get to make it on the earth, on this planet. And so when people make these verbal confessions and such as this, well, everybody goes to heaven. So that makes people think that I don't have to do anything to go to heaven. All I got, if I just die, I'm gone to heaven. And that's not true. I wonder how many people are in hell today thinking, you know, I was just thought everybody went to heaven. You said, I don't want to hear nothing about hellfire and brimstone. I'm not preaching hellfire and brimstone. I'm trying to let people know that people, when they say that everybody goes to heaven, they don't all go to heaven, but they can. I said, but they can. It's the choices that we make. He said, you got to be turned from Satan. What did Jesus tell them in John chapter 8? He said, you're of your father, the devil. He told the religious leaders that day, you're of your father, the devil. That's why you hate me. That's why you want to murder me. He was a murderer from the beginning. But because the life of God is not in you, because you don't know God. And so he's telling them, here's what I want you to do, Paul. I want you to tell people about the light. And I want you to turn them from light to darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. And then they'll be forgiven of their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith. Listen, there is a forgiveness of sins. Am I right? There's a forgiveness of sin. The blood of Jesus washes us from our sins. And there's a forgiveness of sins. Thank God there's a forgiveness of sins. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So people say, well, I've never sinned. Well, basically, you have. And the Bible don't lie. And, you know, so actually, when they say that, they just sin. Because everybody makes mistakes from time to time. Amen. And so here he's talking and giving his confession about his conversion on the road to Damascus. And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, throughout all of Judea, and also the Gentiles at all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove that they have changed by the good things that they do. And prove that they have changed by the good things that they do. Listen to me. There is a visible manifestation of the new birth. If you got born, listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be as nice as I can, but I love every one of you. If nothing changed in your life, if nothing took place in your life when you said yes to Jesus Christ, listen, maybe there was a problem in the believing part of it or whatever. He said there should be good works that come along with the new birth. I always say this, you know, I don't judge people and I don't watch their fruit, but the Bible says we're to judge their fruit. But the thing about it is, I, as a pastor, just a Christian myself, I know where I'm going. I know I'm born again. Something drastically happened to me when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I literally went from darkness to light. I'm talking about, and it changed me forever. And so Paul said that it should be changed and prove that they've changed by the good things that they do. So there is a doing of good works in a born-again believer. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me, but God has protected me right up to this present time, so I can testify to everyone from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be first to be raised from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Suddenly, Festus shouted, Paul, you are insane. Too much study has made you crazy. Anybody ever thought you was crazy? Boy, they're just getting a little bit too religious for me. Huh? Well, I hope I never get religious. Because I don't want to be stamped as a religious person. Religion is what stopped many people from coming to Jesus. Paul was a religious man. What he was doing was under the guise of religion until Jesus showed up. Now he's preaching light to them to get them saved and turn their lives around. And so he says, you are beside yourself. You're crazy. I don't know if anybody's ever called me crazy. They probably did not to my face, but maybe, other times. And, but I try not to act too crazy. But Paul replied, I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I'm saying is the sober truth. And King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I am sure these events are all familiar to him, for they are were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, listen to what Paul said. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. He didn't give him a chance to answer. He said, you believe the prophets? I know you do. I know you do. Huh? You ever told anybody, I know you believe this, but you'll find out some of the people you think believe something don't really believe it. Not everybody believes what the Bible says. They believe some parts of the Bible. Amen? And of course, you've got to read it to know what the other parts are. Agrippa interrupted him. Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly? Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly? And Paul replied, whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains. I want everybody in this house, including you, to be a born-again Christian. So that tells you they weren't. But they had to do something to become that. Amen? Then the king, the governor, Bernice, and all the others stood and left, and they went out and they talked it over and agreed this man hasn't done anything to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, he could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. And that's what he was doing. But of course, his appeal to Caesar was the will and plan of God for him to talk to Caesar. And so we understand that. Go to Ephesians, if you will. So Paul had a life-changing experience. He passed from death unto life. The Bible says we pass from death unto life. You believe that? And we're going to go to chapter 5. And we're going to once again start reading at verse 1 in the New Living Translation. Talking about light. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, and greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God, for a greedy person is an idolater worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey Him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For listen to what it says, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord, so live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Isn't that good? For this light in you only produces what is good and right and true. That's all it produces, is good, right, and true. Amen. Isn't that good? That's what that light produces. So there ought to be light being produced inside of us in order to be producing those things in our lives. It says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. That is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know, we read these things sometimes. If we're not careful, we will almost think that the Bible is trying to put a judgment on us. The Bible is trying to take judgment off of us in that sense. It's trying to let us know, listen, there is a light that wants to take you and put you in a better life and a better way of living. And God wants you to have the best of everything He has provided in this earth. And so we got to realize, you know, there's a way in which light will lead us and guide us and direct us. It goes on to say, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, he says, you ought to just be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or destruction, basically what it means. But be filled with the Spirit of God. And in everything you do, give thanks unto God. It says, in everything, give thanks to God. Some says for everything, but we understand God don't do all the things that happen in people's lives. So we don't get thanks for God for destruction such as that. We give thanks for who He is and what He's done in our lives. Amen. And so God is telling us, you are light and there is no darkness in you at all. Isn't that what it says of God? God is light and there's no darkness in Him at all. And in your heart and in your spirit, you are a born again believer if you believe in Jesus Christ. And the light switch has been turned on, and what caused separation in your life is now brought restoration in your life and brought you to God. And there's a great light in you. So you are the light of the world, the Bible says, the salt of the earth. He says, you don't hide that light under a bushel or a basket, but I want you to let that light shine to everyone in the house or wherever you, it may not be the house, but it may be anywhere else you are, that light are to shine wherever you are, because the resurrection power of God, the Bible says, lives on the inside of you. If the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it'll give life to your mortal body. And not only life to your mortal body, but it's going to give light to your spirit and to your heart. And so when we're talking about light and darkness, we got to understand we live in a world that it's so blatantly visible of light and darkness. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, it's like that we're in a battle right now. In fact, the Bible always talks about there's always going to be a battle. Until we get to heaven, of course, we know there's no darkness in heaven whatsoever. And so we've got to understand God wants us to live in that light. And listen, it's a good life. Y'all believe it's a good life? It's a good life. Go to, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 1, we're going to still stay in the New Living Translation. Now, concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no rest escape. But you aren't, I love what he tells us here. People are, what's going on? When is all this going to happen? He said, but you're not in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out His anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when He returns, we can live with Him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work and their hard working among you, and give them spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peaceably with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now, I know I'm reading a lot this morning. I don't normally read this much, but I'm telling you, Paul was writing these letters to the church, to the body of Christ, those who are born again, letting them, always reiterating to them, listen, you're not a part of darkness. You're a part of light. Light's in you. The light switch was turned on when you met Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Walk in that light. Let that light lead, guide, and direct you. The Bible says the entrance of thy word, it brings forth light inside of you. And so light begets light. And so the word is light. We as born again believers have a light to be shined wherever we may be or wherever we may go. We've got to let that light shine. Amen. He said it's your good works that shine the light. The light is. And you know, I said this one time before. I had a guy in my office one time and I asked him, are you born again? And he says, well, I don't really know what you're talking about. Listen, I found this out. If you ask somebody if they're born again, they don't know what you're talking about. They're not. And so being born again is getting your light switch turned back on and getting your relationship back right with God. Adam lost it. Jesus paid it back. If you'll read Romans chapter 5, you'll find out that through the first Adam, all sin went to every man. The second Adam, which was Jesus, was a life-giving spirit. And He brought light to the world. In fact, the Bible says He's the light of the world. As long as He's in the world, He's the light of the world. And so to understand that we are light, and light is good, and darkness is not good, and that we can shine and enjoy the pleasures that God has given us. Now, I found this out. It's not being born again don't make you mistake proof. Wished it did. Don't you wish it did? Mistake proof. Everybody can make mistakes. And if I wanted to, I could go out there and make a mistake right now if I wanted to. I just don't want to. Huh? You know, the Holy Spirit will take the want to out of you to do what's wrong. And so, I could do all those things. What it does is, what the Holy Spirit does is He guides you. He leads you and He directs you. He'll convict you. Y'all know what conviction is, don't you? He just tells you when you're wrong. He don't condemn you, beat you over head and say, I tell you what, you're a sorry dog. There's no hope for you. You're never going to amount to anything no more. God don't do that stuff to you. The Holy Ghost will say, well, you know, you were wrong. You need to repent. You need to get your life right. Begin to walk with God. That's what He will tell you. The devil will beat you down, chew you up and spit you out, and he don't give a rip about you. That's what darkness will do. But light will always try to woo you to the things of God and pull you in. In fact, every single one of us as being a witness is letting people know that God loves them and He cares about their life. I told this story, I was preaching in Lubbock, a couple of years ago. And, in my preaching, there was a young girl sitting up there. I thought she was young. She's a lot older than I thought she was. She's a little bitty. She's a little bitty thing. I was just in my preaching, I looked at her, and God says, tell her I love her and I care about her life. Sounds like a simple thing. And so I just looked at her and said, you know, God loves you and He cares about your life. When I said that, she just started bawling. She just started bawling. She fell on the arm of the lady beside her. And of course, I just kept preaching. I thought, well, it must have meant something to her. Of course, God wouldn't have told me to tell her that. Because God loves you. No matter what you're going through, God loves you. And this young lady was actually living under a bridge. She was homeless. And she was living in that, and she had done a lot of crazy things in her life. I mean, the reason she is under that bridge is because of her choices that she'd made. And all the things that she was going through. But God told her right there, I didn't know her, never met her before. And God says, I love you, and I care about your life. And I'm telling you, God loves. I don't know what kind of people we come in contact with every day. God loves them. You said, well, there's no way God can love that person I'm thinking about right now. There's no way God loves us all. And you know, the only thing that will take somebody out of darkness is light. The only thing the devil can't extinguish is light. He cannot extinguish light. He tried, he tried, he tried. He still tries today because he tries to extinguish the light in you. He tries to extinguish that light. He tries to get our light to look like darkness. And that is not the plan and purpose. God wants our light to shine and pray for people and bless people. There's so many people hurting out there. So many people that are misguided and misled and just making mistakes in their life that they think their life's over. There's no way God can love me. No way God cares about me. I've done too many bad things and such as that. And you know, God, it don't matter what you've done, God loves you and God cares about you and your life can always get better. Amen. So God cares about you and He loves you and He wants your life to be good and He wants you to be a beacon wherever you are. God cares about you. Amen? Praise God. I had a guy come to me one time. He came into our church, and of course, me and him, we couldn't jihad at all. And he didn't go to our church. He just come and wanted to talk to me. And he believed that there's some people's destined to go to heaven, some people's destined to go to hell. And it didn't matter what you did, Calvinists or something like that, they call it. And no matter, you could do your best, live the best, do everything you want to do. But if you was destined for hell, that's where you're going. And if you're destined for heaven, that's where you're going. Well, that's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be what? Saved. All it takes is calling upon the name of Jesus. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you'll confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, you'd be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That means this. That means there's got to be, when a person gets born again, there's got to be a heart and mouth connection. A heart and mouth connection. And when you make that connection, you know what happens, Jesse? The light switch gets turned back on. You become alive in the Spirit. Your spirit becomes alive again. Your restored to God. You're connected back up to God. He becomes your Father. And the Holy Ghost comes into your life and He'll lead you and guide you and direct you. And He'll make your path straight before you if you will allow Him to do that. God is so good to us, it just blows me away sometimes how good God is to us. Amen? And so, let your light shine. Believe that the light went. Believe God's good. Know God's good. And if you don't believe me, read the Bible. God is good. And how often is He good? All the time God is good. All the time. He's good to me every day that I live. God is good to me. Amen? Praise God. You know, I don't understand a lot of things that happen sometimes, but the thing about it is I'm just going to trust Him in it all and believe Him to take care of this situation. Listen, things may not always go the way we want them to go, but praise God, if we'll stay faithful to God, stay with God, pray, and have a spirit of expectation, God will move in our lives and He'll fix things up in Jesus' name for us. Amen. Praise God. Isn't God wonderful?
Yes.
Say it with me. God is light, and there's no darkness in Him at all. Shout, I am the light of the world, and there's no darkness in me. In Jesus' name. Amen.